We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, A Loving Father, from the series Stronger. He'll unpack the four key qualities of a loving spiritual father. Now, here's today's program.
I'm backing out of my driveway, and all three of my kids are in the back of my truck. And my oldest is 10, and she's talking to my four-year-old about how to respond when you're given a gift at Christmas. She's teaching her what we've taught our kids, because I don't know what it's like in your family, but sometimes we have to go over things more than once, because you know, we've had those experiences where we've gone to somebody's house for dinner and we've taught our kids, hey, no matter what they said in front of you, here's what you say. You say, thank you. And then you eat it. Okay. And no matter what. And then, you know, we go to a person's house and we sit down and one of our children has said on an occasion, oh, I hate that. I'm not eating any of that stuff. And while I appreciate their candor, in the moment, it's probably not the best thing to say. So we work on this stuff. And that's what a spiritual father does. You don't just tell somebody. You work on it over and over. So we're backing out of the driveway the other day. And we taught our kids at Christmas, no matter what you get, you just say thank you, even if you don't like it. And I'm listening to my 10-year-old talk to my 4-year-old. And here's what she said verbatim. And I about ran into the garage because I was laughing so hard. She says to my youngest, she's like, now, Elle, here's the deal. If somebody gives you a Christmas present and it's poop, what do you say? And my 4-year-old says, yuck, I don't want that. And she says, no, you say, thank you very much. And I turn around, I'm like, seriously? I'm like, I'd say, yuck, I don't want that. I mean, we've kind of gone to a little bit of an extreme here. But this is what Paul's talking about with Timothy. Timothy spent so much time with Paul that he knows his heart and he knows his mind and he knows what Paul's going to say and how Paul's going to say it and how Paul's lived and what he's done so that he can model that. And think about Jesus and his disciples for a minute. It's not just like they went to church with him, you know, for 3 years on a Sunday for an hour or an hour and a half if they went to a church like ours. But here's what he did. He spent time with them. They went deep sea fishing. They went on big picnics where miraculous things happened. He healed the sick. He went to the poorest of the poor, the richest of the rich. He spent time in every situation. So when it came to go into all the world, they'd already done it. They'd already been with every kind of person and watched how Jesus interacted with every kind of person, with really needy, hurting people and with prideful religious people. They'd seen it all. So what does God want from us? God wants us as spiritual parents, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers to model what it looks like to show the love of Christ in so many different environments that our spiritual children, our own personal children, the people we're discipling is like, that's how you do it. I remember when I was young in my faith and I was 24 years old and I was a youth pastor in a church and I had this guy I met. He's like, have you ever been discipled? And I immediately said, no. Because for me, discipleship meant sitting down and just teaching me the Bible. And nobody really ever done that for me before. So I said, no. She's like, I'm going to disciple you, brother. We're going to go out to breakfast. I'm going to disciple you. I'm like, cool. I want to learn the Bible. We went out to breakfast. I'm about halfway through this breakfast. And I was thinking to myself, I never want to come to this breakfast with this guy ever again. Because all he did was like, here's what it says. Here's what it says. Here's what it says. Here's what it says. It wasn't fun. And I was praying about it for a period of months. I'm like, Lord, how come I've never been discipled? And don't you care about me enough to put somebody in my life that disciples me? And I remember one morning I was having coffee with a couple kids in my youth group and I was sipping coffee and I was asking them about their life and what God had been doing in their life. And I'm listening to their story. And all of a sudden it just clicked in my mind. And God showed me, he goes, you know what? This is what Bob used to do with you when you were in college. And he would ask you questions about your life and you processed who you were and you grew in Christ. And isn't that exactly what you're doing now? That's what discipleship is. It's modeling and replicating who you are in Christ. And I was like, I've totally been discipled, right? See, we get the wrong idea of discipleship. We think discipleship is a certain style or a certain way. We get wrong ideas about marriage and parenting because we think it's a certain style in a certain way. No, it's about glorifying Jesus Christ in all that you do and modeling what that looks like. So when other people see you, they see the light of Christ in you. Right? That's what it means. You follow after him. And a spiritual father or a spiritual mother or a mature disciple provides a personal example and they're constantly teaching others what that personal example looks like. In other words, I'm living this life, But let me teach you why I'm living this life. Here's what I do. Let me tell you why I do what I do. Some of you guys in the business world, I know this to be true about you because you've told me. You tell young business entrepreneurs, hey, this is what I do. Let me tell you, this is why I do what I do. This is how the Lord has led me to do this. Hey, I tell young guys, this is how I pastor. This is why I pastor. This is how the Lord's led me to do what I do. It doesn't mean that you're the only business person that's got it figured out. It doesn't mean I'm the only pastor that's got it figured out or that you're the only parent that has it figured out. It means in your sphere of influence, this is why you're doing what you're doing for the Lord so that other people see Jesus Christ in you. And here's where God's growing you. You may be young in the faith. I totally get that. Welcome to Harvest. Glad you're here. You may not have even trusted Jesus yet. Welcome to Harvest. I'm glad you're here. But let me tell you something. If you know the Lord, God's desire in your life is to grow into spiritual maturity in such a way that you're discipling others by modeling for them and teaching them what it means to look like as a follower of Jesus Christ. And it's not just a what and why. Like, here's what it is. Here's why I do it. It's a, here's how I do it. Right? I mean, I could read to you about five passages in the Bible to tell you, here's what a good marriage looks like. And it's so deep and so rich and you'd have everything you need to know. But I found in my life that it's good not only to know what the scriptures teach, but to find five, six, seven other couples that I see the love of Christ in and say, how do you do that? And why do you do that? I remember when Kim and I got married, we were going to premarital counseling, which is so easy. Premarital counseling is awesome. I just want you to know. And they made us bring a couple in with us so that we could talk about things. And, you know, before we got married, I mean, we were perfect. I mean, there's nothing wrong. And so we went to premarital counseling, which was great. But then we went to this thing called postmarital counseling where the same people came in afterwards and they were there for us when we were doing our postmarital thing, which is not nearly as fun, right? But I remember that couple, they would sit us down and they would tell us how they worked out an argument. They sat us down one night and pulled out their entire budget, showed us exactly how much money they made and how they line itemed everything in ministry to do what they did. We'd never seen anybody do that. I mean, they were just totally candid with it. They talked about how they disciplined their children. They talked about the mistakes that they made. They made us feel so loved all the time. And every time I felt like a bonehead going into counseling, I remember Bill would be there and be like, I've done that too, dude. It's really stupid what you did, but I did it too. It made me feel good to know that I wasn't alone. Right? That's called spiritual parenting and spiritual fathering. Like some of you guys that are a little bit older, some of you gals that are a little bit older, you're kind of waiting until you just know more of the Bible and can help people. Let me tell you about those that are younger than you. They don't need somebody perfect to disciple them. They're not looking for perfection because they know they never will be either. They're looking just for your honest heart of seeing how Christ has manifested himself in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and who you are. And if you'll be a person that can bring people alongside of you and just kind of let them see your life and be authentic about it, you will transform people. That's Paul saying, that's what I did. I modeled it for you. I taught you. Now I'm sending Timothy to you. He's a classic example. Somebody's listened and followed my teaching, and this is what he's going to do when he comes to you. Third thing Paul talks about, he says, a loving father does this. And hear me on this one. A loving father investigates behavior and willingly administers accountability and discipline. A loving spiritual parent, a loving father, a loving mother will investigate behavior and willingly administer accountability and discipline. Now, in verse 18, Paul says, now some of you have become arrogant. Arrogant means puffed up, meaning you're thinking you're better than others. And you might say, well, how does Paul know that? Because he's investigating what's going on in the church. He's been sent a letter. He knows what's happening. And he's saying, some of you become arrogant as though I were not coming to you. In other words, you think you're going to get away with all this. But watch this. But I will come to you soon. And he adds this, if the Lord wills. In other words, I want to come to you and I'm planning on coming to you, but it's going to be the Lord's desire to bring me because if the Lord says no, I'm going to follow the Lord, but I'm going to come to you if the Lord wills. And I shall find out, not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. In other words, what's discipleship? Discipleship's not words. It's not what you can tell people. It's what you live.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, A Loving Father, from the series Stronger, unpacking the four key qualities of a loving spiritual father. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
It's what you live, right? If you've come to church for at least a year or more, you can talk the talk, I promise you. And people can point at you, you know, and say, hey man, I see this in your life. You know, you seem really anxious. I'm like, yeah, brother, you're right. But you know, Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I'm just praying about that. When deep down you're totally anxious, but you spin a Christian, a biblical scripture out there just to push people away so they don't get into your heart. I mean, you can talk all you want. It's one thing about talking about your Christian life, and it's another thing about living it. And Paul's saying, when I come to you, I'm gonna find out who the mere talkers are and who's actually walking this thing out, because there's a huge difference for me. There's a lot of people in church that think they're spiritual because they can talk a lot about the Bible. I know a lot of people that can talk a lot about the Bible that don't know a whole lot about Jesus. I mean, the Pharisees would be the classic example in Jesus' day. They knew all about the scriptures, yet they refused to come to Jesus to have life. And the problem with people like that is it takes young spiritual believers who really love Jesus and make them feel bad like they're never gonna get it, when they're actually closer to Christ than these spiritual, religious Pharisee kind of people that don't, right? That's what Paul's saying. And what's Paul saying? I'm gonna come investigate your behavior. You know what a spiritual father does? I'll give you two words. A spiritual father is intentionally intrusive. In other words, I care about you so much that I'm gonna investigate your life because I wanna know what's going on. Kids, if you've ever said, mom and dad, that's none of your business, why are you in here? Because I love you and it's my business. It's my business as your spiritual parent to know what's going on with you, because if I don't, nobody else will. And that may make you uncomfortable and that may make you upset, but I love you enough to be intentionally intrusive. Does our Heavenly Father do that with us? Holy cow, he does with me all the time, right? I mean, sometimes we don't like God being that intentionally intrusive. I mean, we can be going along in our quiet times and we can be going along in our day and we can go even weeks or months at a time. And all of a sudden it's like, search me, Lord, just try me. And God shows us something in our heart that wounds us and says, yeah, you're prideful here. Or, yeah, the way you speak to people, it's not good. Or hey, the way, and I don't like that. But it's true, isn't God intentionally intrusive with us? I mean, I know how much God's changed me in the last 25 years. And I know there's ways that I'm not the same as I used to be. But I would be the first to admit that I know I haven't arrived either. So I know God loves me enough to be intentionally intrusive in my life. What should we be in other people's lives that we are spiritually fathering? We should be intentionally intrusive in theirs. That's why healthy small groups, when you break out with guys and gals with gals, should be what? Intentionally intrusive. I wanna know what's really going on. Don't tell me, I'm good, praying. It's all good, brother. Don't do that, because it's not all good. Unless you're Jesus, it's not all good. So what's really going on in your life and how can I be a help to you? And listen, I've walked with the Lord long enough to know that when I get around people that are plasticky and fake and aren't authentic, I just don't enjoy it. I just don't enjoy spending time with people like that. I can handle the person that says, here's my sin and I'm really struggling with this and I don't even know how to get over it. I can handle that because I get that. But I don't get the, everything's great, everything's good, that's fine. How can I pray for you? I don't get that. Because it's just not spiritual. It's just not godly. It's just not how God leads us. A spiritual father is always intentionally intrusive. Paul's like, I've heard some of you are arrogant. I've heard some of you are mere talkers, but there's no demonstration of the love of Christ going on in your life. You're not living it out. People aren't seeing the love of Jesus in your life. You're just talking about it. And when I come, I'm gonna find out. And any loving father is willing to administer accountability and discipline. Notice what he says in that final verse of verse 21. What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Now, he's not talking about physical beating. He's talking about a spiritual one. But Paul had been beaten with rods. I mean, he was saying, hey, listen, I will come and discipline you because I love you. And a good spiritual father is willing to exercise discipline. Now, let me be really clear on this, because you need to hear this clearly. When you physically discipline a child, okay, it has to be done in love. It can never be done out of anger. It can never be done in an abusive manner. It can never be done in a way where you're shaming someone. But the Bible says physical discipline is a part of parenting, right? I mean, if you don't believe me, just meditate on these verses this week. I wrote down five. They're all in the Proverbs. There's many others, but these are in the Proverbs. You can write the verses down and look them up later. Proverbs 13:24. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Well, what's the verse saying? That if you don't spank your kids when they need it, you just don't love them. It's a fact. Proverbs 19:18, discipline your son while there is hope and do not desire his death. In other words, spiritual fathers, you have a responsibility to discipline your kid. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. Proverbs 23:13-14, do not hold back discipline from the child. Listen to this. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. Okay? You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol or hell. How about Proverbs 29:15? The rod of and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Right? I mean, what's the Bible teach? That there is a time for physical discipline. But again, I reiterate, it has to be a unique time. It has to be done in love. But discipline is part of parenting. And I know we live in a day and age where we don't like to talk about that. I know we live in a day and age where we think that's politically incorrect and all that kind of stuff. But it's biblical and it's true and it's healthy. You know, I was listening to comedian Jeff Foxworthy one time, and he said, we didn't have timeouts for kids when I was growing up. We had timeouts for parents. He said, my dad always took a timeout to beat my backside, right? Right? Here's the truth. If you love your kids, you will discipline them. You will, but you'll always, 100% of the time, do it because you love them, not because you're angry with them, and not because you're shaming them, and not because this or that, right? Does God love us enough to discipline them? In the book of Hebrews, it says, God scourges everyone he loves as a son. And if you've never been spanked by the Lord, you don't know him, right? You just don't know him because he loves us enough to not leave us where we are, right? Spiritually, God spanks his kids. He always does. And spiritual maturity, again, it does not equal knowledge. It equals a transformation by the Spirit inside of us who's growing us. And a loving father, he investigates behavior. He's willing to hold their kids accountable, willing to administer discipline if necessary, but don't miss this fourth part of a loving spiritual father. A loving spiritual father will always allow freedom and time for his children to decide how they want to be treated. This is huge because I can't talk about discipline without talking about this. Paul asked him in verse 21, what do you want? Like, what do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Like, how do you want me to come to you? Do you want me to come to you to discipline you, or do you want me to come in love with a spirit of gentleness? In other words, here's what Paul's saying. It's totally your choice. My preference would be to come in a spirit of love and gentleness. It's your opportunity. You get freedom to respond. You get freedom to choose how I, as your spiritual father, am going to treat you, right? And sometimes I find that in Christian circles, we don't allow that time. We don't allow the freedom and time to allow our children to decide how they want to be treated. I mean, even some books have been written where it says, hey, delayed obedience is disobedience. And I would say, yeah, that's true. But have you ever read the Bible? I mean, how long did God delay sometimes before he brought punishment? I mean, sometimes it was years. I mean, read through the Old Testament. Judgment's on the way. How long's he waiting? Years, right? God's coming to judge the world. How long's he been waiting? 2,000 years, right? But he's on the way. He's going to bring it. Parents, it doesn't mean that when you set standards and boundaries for your kids that they get like 30 seconds to respond. Sometimes they need a chance to own it and understand the consequence and why you're asking that. And give them freedom and time. Does God give us freedom and time? I love that God gives us freedom and time. I'm glad that God doesn't point something out of my quiet time at 6 a.m. and squash me at 7 if I'm not obedient. I'm just glad for that. I'm glad there's times God points something out at 6 a.m. and 3 weeks later, he's still pointing it out. And 2 months later, he's still pointing it out. And 6 months later, he's still pointing it out. And finally, I correct myself and allow the Holy Spirit to take over when I repent and confess. Aren't you glad that our Lord is like that? So don't hear this message and say, hey, I'm gonna set the standard. If you're not right, I'm punishing right now. That's not the heart of a father. What's the heart of a father? Paul's heart is, I wanna come in love and I wanna get behind you and I wanna love you and exhort you and encourage you to be filled with the Spirit so that you can walk it out. That's my heart for the church. That's my heart for each and every one of you. Now, I'm a spiritual father. I'm willing to discipline you. I'm willing to come that way. Is that really what you want? I don't think you do. If you do, that's how I'll come, but it's not my desire. My desire would be come in love and a spirit of gentleness. If you enjoy disciplining your kids, you have a problem. You really do. It should never be something that's fun or pleasurable. I don't like disciplining my kids at all, but I'm willing to do it knowing that I stand before the Lord for the way in which I bring them up, right? Allow freedom and time for your kids to decide. And you need to have people in your life that speak these things into your life, right? We need to have people in our lives because we can't have like a myriad of people that admonish us because it'd be really hard to pick and choose which people we were listening to. Who are the people around you that you allow to speak into your life? And are they worthy? Do you see them walking with Christ, right? Like, I have a wife that's awesome at this. So you see her on Sunday mornings and you see her sitting over there smiling and praying for me and she's lovely and she's delightful, but nobody speaks more admonition in my life than my wife because she lives with me. So she can speak into my life and tell me when I'm a total bonehead, right? And she can say, I don't like the way you're treating me, or I don't like the way you acted today. I don't like the way you treated our children. But when she says it, I know it's true, right? But there are men in my life that I can have speak into my life that way. Do you have people in your life that will do that for you? See, God wants us to have spiritual parents in our life. God wants us to have spiritual friends in our life. God wants us to be that for other people. And the way that we grow in Christ is not just saying, oh, you know Christ, great, have a great day. The way we grow in Christ is having some people around us that love us enough to say, you know what? That may not be the best way to go. And I love you enough and I'll continue to walk through you even if you don't change your behavior. But hey, listen, I love you and I'm walking with you. And as we grow in Christ, here's what I find. You know what? As we begin to spiritually disciple other people, guess who grows the most? We do. See, when I see my kids misbehaving, do you know what I see? I see my sin patterns replicated in them. And I see what I need to change. You know what I see when I disciple people? I see my sin patterns replicated in them and what I need to change. I mean, as Kim and I have done marital counseling, I don't know how many times, and we're sitting across from a couple or I'm doing it or she's doing it. I mean, we're always, if we're together, we're always in the car on the way home apologizing to one another. If it's me doing the counseling, I've usually picked up the phone within 5 minutes of somebody leaving and apologizing to her saying, you know what, here's what I do. If she's doing it, she says the same thing to me. Why? Because when you're spending time shepherding other people, guess what you're able to see? It's like a reflection of all your stuff in your own life. And one of the reasons the enemy hates us discipling other people is he knows that's the best way we grow as Christians. When I started spending time with other people, when I started leading small groups, when I started discipling other people, that's when I started growing the most. If I had waited until I had it all right, I still would be in the same place I was 25 years ago, right? God wants us to take steps and start shepherding and start discipling. And when I read through this passage, I started thinking about our Heavenly Father. And I said, you know, this is exactly what our God does. This is exactly who he is in our life. He's a good, good father, isn't he? I mean, he gives us warnings through his word and says, hey, this is the way you want to go. He provided a personal example in his son, Jesus Christ. You want to know what God's like? Just read through the Gospels and see who Jesus is. He investigates our behavior constantly, if we'll allow him and say, hey, Lord, search me and try me, show me that. And then he gives us freedom and time because he loves us enough. Say, I know you can't change right now, but through my Holy Spirit, you can. Will you walk in this way? And even if you don't, I'm going to keep coming to you, keep coming to you, keep coming to you. You know, and there's a place, and I don't know where it is on each thing or how God does it. There's a time where God can bring discipline in our life, and he does that. But he's so patient and so kind and so loving. And isn't it great to know we have a father like that? Friends, that's the kind of father that I preach about every single week. And I want you to know, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the father Jesus wants you to know. I mean, God demonstrated his own love by this. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his own son to be slaughtered on the cross. God sent his own son to pay a penalty we could never pay for ourselves. He's already demonstrated his love for you and that he let his son shed his own blood and die in your place, be buried in a grave. And then God the Father raised him from the dead and Jesus began to offer life to everybody and says, come to me. My dad's forgiven all your sin. If you repent and come to me, you can have life in me and experience the same love with my dad that I have. It's open to everybody. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Is he the Lord of your life? If he is, that's the invitation to the father that you have. And if you've done that, when was the last time you thanked God for being a good father in your life? When was the last time that you stood on your feet and said, God, I thank you, you're a good father because. See, God wants to hear it from our lips because he's so good to each and every one of us. He loves us in an unconditional way. And God wants us to give him praise like that.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, A Loving Father, from the series Stronger, unpacking the four key qualities of a loving spiritual father. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.